The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. The latest from batshit bonkers Britain. Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And a very warm welcome to the Katie Hopkins Show on Tuesday, the 5th of December, would you believe? Today in the show, I want to discuss the concept of fellow travellers, describing the way the crazy left love Hamas so very much. We're talking about the 2024 Olympics in Paris. I wanted to talk about this yesterday. Will this be the most disrupted Olympics in history? And quality streets, don't even get me started. I feel a rant coming on. God spare me. It's not my voice we want to hear. It's yours. I may be in the driving seat, but you are the engine for this show. So do join your tribe over on the chat. Here is how you join the conversation.
Katie Hopkins wants you to chat to her. Just go to tntradio.live, hit chat, and join your family chatting away. We're on the highway to freedom, where listeners drive the show. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And a very warm welcome to the Katie Hopkins Show here at TNT Radio, where we are back with another jam-packed hour of things I plan to talk about, but probably wouldn't get to because there's things you guys would rather talk about instead. So do jump on with the gang if you can. If you go to tntradio.live and click on the little button somewhere that says chat, you will see if you're watching in vision, which you'll know I don't recommend, but still in my hand, I have my phone and that is basically you guys. So this is your direct link between me, this tiny little pea brain in my head, my mouth, and this microphone is you, and you genuinely run this show. So I may have a whole world of things, she says, pointing to her plans that I wish to talk about, but much more important is that the listener has their say. And this is one of the ways you can do it. Katie, I love the sweater. Yes, if you are in vision, I am not a vision, I would just like to say. That would be quite the overstatement. But my sweater is actually glorious. And without wanting to be one of those sad bastards, I bought one year, my husband and my son, when my son was much smaller and much more cute, the same sweater. So when they would go off to their little car shows, it would be dad and then his cute little son in his cute little sweater. And I know very well what that means. I was a very giving female. Yes, I know, because other women love husbands out with their sons, right? They love it. And then for a husband to be out with the son in the matching sweater, women can't get enough of that stuff. And what it meant was that all over the place, lovely women would be like, lovely, they'd be like fawning over lovely Mark, obviously, but then also they'd be lovely to my son. So, you know, there's method behind my madness. I know, I'm willing to share my, but anyway, wanting to muscle in on the act, I then had to buy myself the same sweater because I didn't want to be left out of my own lovely plan. That's how sad I am. So do join the chit chat or have views on my sweater if that's really the most important thing for us. Tried video yesterday, but the experience was less intimate. Oh, Phil, I love you so much. A man who speaketh from my heart. Katie, a Rupert wearing a bear sweater. Yeah, so just to explain the reference there for the non-military, if you go into the army and you're a lad and you go in as a squaddy, hard drinking, hard sexing, hard smoking, hard man, you're a squaddy, you're a good lad, and you work your way up. If you're a poncy asshole, you go to university, get sponsored into the army like I did, and then go to Sandhurst and then do officer training and then come out and get given 30 chaps to look after. So basically, you know nothing and you're a bit of an idiot and you've never really had a hard life. You're known as a Rupert. I was a Rupert. Someone else here saying I'm sticking to old school radio. Yes. Or we could try and keep the boss happy. You could watch the video, but also shut your eyes. The point is, isn't it, is that we live in an age of choice, huh? Choix, as the French would say. And you can choix, you can choose how you watch or how you listen or how you don't. Morning all, Katie, will Blackpool tickets be on sale in time for Christmas? Don't even talk to me about that because I'm behind on that, as you know. Yes, is the answer. I've got to sort it out, otherwise lovely Mark's going to kill me. Yesterday, we were doing the final edit of my stand-up show, which is coming out on video for Christmas, which I'm absolutely terrified about. If you know me at all, you'll know that I don't watch myself. I don't, why I can't look at the camera here. I don't like to see myself in any way. And so therefore producing a video of yourself doing stand-up when you were never a stand-up is quite a stretch. It's like writing a book. I love writing a book. I love it because I just sit there and I tippy type away. And it's therapeutic. And I'm writing my next one now for next year. And I love it, but it's when that book is delivered to the house. So lovely Mark does all the layout. He does all the graphics for it. He does all the publishing of it himself. And so when those boxes arrive at the house, that's the bit where I literally am sick. Like I feel physically sick because writing privately is perfect because you're telling your absolute truth and you hide nothing. And you say things you shouldn't say or possibly shouldn't have said, or you say things about relatives or friends or whatever that are honest and you just write them all down. And I that's a discipline that I think is so important. Why lie? If you're lying to the reader, you know, the person you're really lying to is yourself. So I write it all in there. But then when the book is delivered and you see it and then you're like, oh, my God, other people are going to read this. And then I tell people not to read it. I'm not great at this whole promo stuff. I'm just reading from the chat. Anytime you hear me go, it's because I'm prioritizing listeners over what I was going to say. You said it, not me. Yeah, that's me talking about the being a Rupert. Can I play the piano? So in the background of my shot, as they would say, were this to be a studio, I do have a studio next door with a lovely, some of you will have seen it if you've been with me over the ages, American British flag blended together that lovely Mark painted, and it's the size, it's the whole wall of my house and I love it, but owing to the Wi-Fi being cripe, I have to be, that was my code word for crap, did you like it, cripe? I have to be here in this room, which is known as the piano room, which makes our house sound frightfully posh. It's not, it's just small, you can heat it really quickly and it's got everything in it, including me. But yes, 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 I know, I was one of those annoying people. I did my grade 8 piano at 14. I did my grade 8 violin at 13. Yeah, yeah, I got a distinction. Yeah, yeah, I know, I know, I know, my gifts never end. Should we go back to the show that I planned? Shall we? Just for shits and giggles. This is my rant. Are you ready? We haven't had a rant for a while, have we? So brace yourselves. If you're new to TNT Radio, I should say a couple of things, shouldn't I? So if you're new here, please know there's only two rules on this show. One is that you say whatever you like. Two is that we don't ever have to agree. Those are the two rules. So that's it. And if you disagree with anything, you should definitely get on chat and put it on there because you'll know, if you know me, I read it out. That. The other thing I should say, if you're new to TNT and you're new to the tribe, which is my gang on the chat, which you're part of, even if you hate me, you're part of my gang, is that I occasionally have rants to get off my chest, which is tiny. And today, it is only, what is it, 12 minutes past 8 in the morning here in the UK. And I've been kind of brewing this one since yesterday at about 5 p.m. So all I'll say is stand by your beds. I've left the offending article in the other room, which I really should have. And I can't go get it because I've got this ear thing in. But let me tell you, Katie looks like Stevie Wonder not looking at the camera. Strange, I know. Because look, if I look at the camera, then I'm looking at the camera. I know I see myself. So I'm happy looking here and there. I think it's also a sign of my autism, to be honest with you. Also, don't look. If you think I look like Stevie Wonder, shut your eyes as well. Then you'll know how Stevie Wonder feels. I'm happy looking strange. All the best people are weird. And I tell my children every damn day, be weird. Be as gloriously weird as it's possible for you to be. Because the last thing you want to do in this fine world is fit in. because the moment you fit in, frankly, darling, you're rogered. Right. Can I just say? So we know that greenies, right, are self-hating at the best of times, right? They hate themselves. They are self-loathing. It's why they're prepared to lie to themselves about things like climate change and all the rest of it. And we know that greenies are, it's a punitive thing, isn't it? Oh, look how bad the world is. The more that we punish ourselves, the more that we're doing something about it. So look, let's all not wear leather because it's really, really soft. Let's not wear wool because, you know, it's really, really cozy. So let's make something knitted out of a fucking bamboo. You know, let's not have the lights on or the heating on because then we'd be warm and really, really snug. Let's not eat meat so that we get really, really scrawny and we can barely keep ourselves alive. And then some poor cow on Instagram who has a fruit-only diet dies because she hasn't got the nutrients in her body that she actually needs. You know, this is the greenies for you, isn't it? Don't travel anywhere. Don't go on holiday because you're killing the polar bears. No, you can't use your car because if you use your car, you're also going to kill the penguins. So now you can only use a car if you plug it in, and you can only plug it in at certain times of the day because electricity is so expensive now. And now this, and now this, and limit and limit and make your life smaller and make your life smaller until you're sat in the dark sucking on the arse end of a locust, which has to be bred in a lab by Bill Gates and already has some kind of mutant, horrible disease in it. That's the greenies for you. They come for our Christmases. And you see it all over the place, right? No Christmas markets. So you're not allowed at Christmas markets because of health and safety, or because they can't stop people stabbing people in Christmas markets anymore because there's another intifada coming over in the Middle East. And so we can't protect dear Christians at the Christian markets because we flooded this place with people who want to actually kill us. But no one mentioned that. Just all sit on the side of Palestine. I'm sure that's going to be fine because I'm sure they all love us, really. No Christmas markets, Christmas lights. Can't have Christmas lights, too expensive. So many of our councils are now bankrupted because they've run by Labour, who can't run a fucking piss up in a brewery and couldn't get a shag in a brothel. And so we haven't got Christmas lights because no one can afford them. So now we can't have Christmas markets. Now we can't have Christmas lights. And in the rest of our lives, we're supposed to sit in the dark and just suck on the arse end of a locust. And now what? And now they've come for our bastard Quality Street. And I tell you this, it is a line. They have trod over the line on this occasion. I don't know if you've seen the Quality Street in the UK. I haven't got them here on my lap to show you, but I wish I damn well did, but I can't get them because I've got this wretched earpiece in because you know why. If you've seen the Quality Streets in the UK this year, I literally just opened up a packet. I didn't realise they have taken the twinkle off Quality Streets. Now, I think in Australia, you still have the twinkles, right? So I think in Australia, you still have Quality Street that still shine when you open the plastic box or paper box or whatever the shit it is that used to be a tin, but you can't have a tin because you're going to kill a polar bear if you have a nice time at Christmas. Well, in the UK, they've gone one step further. Not only do we not have a tin anymore, not only do we have to have a friggin' paper bag to have our sweets in, now the sweets aren't allowed to twinkle anymore. They've changed the sweet wrappers. So you don't have the twinkly sweet wrappers that look like little jewels in a box. You don't have little nice things that you remember as a child and maybe you're a bit nostalgic. You don't have the pieces of like glittery foil that then adults and others kind of flatten out and then eventually children use to make pictures with, or you use to make other decorations with, or it was sort of a fun activity for 5 minutes on Christmas Day rather than listen to your bloody relatives talking about nothing. Well, now our Quality Street are wrapped in paper. Not even paper. Oh, no. Dull paper. Dull paper on the sweets. The one last thing. And I tell you now, you can say, Katie, get over it. There's bigger things out there. I don't give a single shiny shit because you've already come for the big things. You've already come for the airplanes. You've already come for the cars. You've already come for the meat industry and the farming industry. You've already come for other joys we might have. You've already come for our elderly. We have security tags on blocks of cheese. And that's not a joke. And now you want to change the wrappers on my goddamn chocolates as well. Step away from the chocolates. Step away from my Christmas. What next? Oh, what, the nativity play? Is that not green enough for you? Angel Gabriel, her halo, is that not environmentally friendly? What do you want her? Do you want her LEDs, maybe? Maybe she could solar power. Maybe could solar power the head of Angel Gabriel. I mean, maybe. What, the shepherds? Oh, shit me, you can't have a shepherd. I mean, Christ, if you've got a shepherd, well, then they're looking over their flocks and you can't have a flock by night because everybody has to be vegan. So maybe you could just have the shepherds looking over a bunch of fucking cauliflowers or bloody aubergines. I mean, really, is that the way we're going to go with this? Oh, really? We are. The Three Kings? Frankincense? Gold? Myrrh? I hope they were bloody sustainably sourced. Huh? Can't have that. You can't be digging that up. Can't be digging gold out of the mine. Oh, no. You know, so, well, it's okay. If you want to dig out cobalt using small black kids, that's fine because that's for electric cars. And obviously that's sustainable. But if it's the Three Kings, they can't have gold, frankincense and myrrh. No. Stay away from the Quality Street. Stay away from Christmas and go and be shitting well miserable somewhere else. I'm going to a commercial break. My name is Katie Hopkins and this is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
13 Israeli hostages released as part of that ceasefire deal 49 days after they were taken hostage. 49 days. So that still leaves about 225 to 227 more hostages. I'm with John Bolton, the former national security advisor to Donald Trump. I'm with Britt Hume of Fox News. I'm with a bunch of other people who say this gives Hamas too much time to do whatever they want to do whatever they need to do, to regroup, to rearm, to re-strategize. And as much as you want the hostages back, it can't be at the expense of the other part of the mission, which is to destroy Hamas. So I think it's a mistake.
Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are opportunity zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Thanks for listening and for being a part of the Katie Hopkins Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, thank you all very much for listening. Thank you for being part of TNT. I have you here in my hand, so to speak, in a non-godly way. But I have you in my hand as you chitty-chat along. So please do know that I follow along with your chats here at the Tribe. So if you want to join the conversation, please do, because your views are welcome. When I'm not having a massive rant on, obviously, for 20 minutes. Your views are so welcome, Katie. People saying I should have a Chucky sweater on when I'm in full rant mode. Oh, my God. So, right, two stories I want to talk about. One, well, there's so many stories I want to talk about, but one is an increase to the BBC license fee. Oh, so 400,000 people last year stopped paying their BBC license fee, which I think is just glorious because it's a sign of people voting with their feet. Many people, as you know, are paying for what? Netflix subscriptions. I don't know, is it Paramount? Some people are part of, some people are part of Apple, whatever their TV subscription service, more and more people moving away from the BBC. Certainly more and more people refusing to fund the BBC with its bias that we see all over the place. 400,000 good souls cancelling their BBC TV license last year. And actually, you know, just as a sort of point of reality, how many people in a world where we do have security tags on blocks of cheese and people are stood at tills. Yesterday, my daughter said two people in front of her had to put things back. When the total got rung up, you could see the total what wasn't what the shopper had expected. And so they had to work out which bits of their shopping they wanted to put back in order to make the shop tally up to the money that they could afford to pay. And you can say, oh, that happens by accident and that happens plenty. But it's, you see signs like that happening more and more and more. People carefully, I see people going around with calculators now or one of those scanny things where you get a total as you go. So they're trying to work out carefully how much they're spending, when you're in that kind of thing, giving money to the BBC to force content down your face that you know can be, well, or the fact checkers at the BBC, and then it was found out that the BBC fact checker herself had actually conned her way into the BBC by claiming she worked for the Russian BBC. I mean, you couldn't even make it up. Anyway, the BBC license fee, they want to put it up again by almost £15. The culture secretary, Lucy Fraser, said she was concerned a significant rise in the fee would add to cost of living pressures. The license fee has been frozen for the last 2 years, £159 a year, but is due to rise in April in line with inflation. Now, if you don't live in the UK, you don't know how it is here. The BBC license fee was charged to every homeowner, and it was a compulsory fee, still is, in the sense that you were required to pay it, you were obligated to pay it. And there were many instances, still are, of bailiffs going around to people's homes to threaten them if they hadn't paid it. We have elderly people who were put in prison for not paying their BBC license fee. And bear in mind, it's effectively a public good. And bear in mind, for elderly people, sometimes a TV is the only companionship that they have. Well, the BBC was still perfectly content to go around and pull elderly people from their homes, make them turn up in court and put them in prison for the crime of not subsidising the BBC TV service, which all of us could see, I think, for the longest time was a complete ripoff. And now many people have woken up to the fact they aren't going to pay their BBC TV license, which I love. So the BBC are out of ideas. And you always know when a failing business is out of ideas because, one, it doesn't have the budgets to do the things it wants to do. Two, it has nobody in the leadership who is going to make the difficult decisions, which is to get rid of middle management and to lose many of the high paid staff. They never make that decision, because that decision is the hardest decision. So instead, they go for the elements of the business that are required. So instead of getting rid of staff at exceptionally high costs at the BBC, which is exactly what I would do if I was brought in there as a management consultant, instead, they're getting rid of the programming. The other day I spoke to you about Newsnight. So the thing they're getting rid of is the thing they used to do really well, which was regional reporting. And that's what always happens. The other sign of a failing business is the fewer customers that you have, because so many are leaving, you penalise those customers harder. So instead of working out ways to get new subscribers or to go to a subscription-only service, which is how they would actually do very well at a low rate, lower than Netflix, they're penalising those who still pay the TV licence by adding another 15 quid to it. They are doing three of the opposite things that I would immediately advise if I was brought into that business, which I will never be. And that's good, because I really don't want to be solving the BBC right now. I've got issues with Quality Street. Anyway, they're going to raise it by 15 quid. More people will stop paying their BBC license. The only way the BBC saves itself is by culling itself down to about an eighth of the size, running as a subscription-only service, and getting people out of damn studios and onto the pavements. That's the only way they win. And I would put money on that. Let us move on to what you'll know is an ongoing favourite story of mine, and I refuse to stop. So you'll know by now that my next husband is going to be a guy called Al Jaber. Admittedly, not a very good looking guy. But, you know, I think we can overlook looks at this point, can't we? Because we have to find things to love that aren't based on just visuals. My husband is a great example. Look, he's been married to me for God knows, 15 years. Al Jaber. I love him. I will marry him. I'm prepared to be one of his 10 wives. I don't mind, because I don't really want to do, you know, much with Al Jaber other than be one of his wives. So he was the guy that's the president. He's not past tense. He's still alive, last time I looked. But, well, maybe not for much longer, actually. But Al Jaber is president of COP28. And Al Jaber came out Sunday. And he said, there is no science that says we should stop using oil and gas. That's right. So he says the science doesn't say stop using oil and gas. And so yesterday we were talking about the fact that the lefties were like mad epileptics. I can say this because I'm epileptic. They were having seizures all over the because they've realized that they've put COP28 in the hands of an oil guy who's actually using the using COP28 to flog oil. It tickles me every time. I can't get over it. And then now today, the story is that all of these oil giants from different countries, they've got a list of them now over at The Guardian. They've got a list of the oil giants who are turning up at COP28 under the guise of being leftists or caring about the climate. But they're actually going there just to make sod off great oil deals, which I love. So now they're attacking Al Jaber as not knowing the science. And do you remember this, right, with COVID and the vaccine? Just hope he hasn't copped it. Yeah. What's the betting Al Jaber has a heart attack or falls from a high balcony, like a Saudi balcony? Very, very soon he's going to have a nasty incident, like the guy who was found in a duffel bag in his own bath, padlocked on the outside. And the intelligence agency said there was no suspicious circumstances. Pronounced Al-Jabi. I think what we're saying is Al Jaber is not the way to pronounce it, but I'm pronouncing it that way because it suits me perfectly. I love it. So the science, remember, so for COVID, the science, someone like me denying the science, and the science became this weird separate thing, right? It was the science. And depending on your position, if you were pro vaccines and you were forcing them into people, that meant you were a good person because you sat with the science. And if you were like me and were like, no, don't have a vaccine, it'll kill you, then you weren't with the science and it made you an asshole. So the same thing again, climate debate, same split. If you're a good person, you sit with the science, which we know doesn't exist. And if you're a bad person, Al Jaber, you don't. So now he's come out and he's trying to clarify. He's been told, Al Jaber, get out there, you multi-billionaire, you ruler of UAE. I wouldn't have been like to have been the person that delivered that message. Be like the days of the kings, wouldn't it? Where the messenger is the first one to get his head chopped off. Hey, Al Jaber, get out there. Go on. Jabs. Get out there and tell people you love the science. Go on, Jabs. Tell people you believe in the science. Jabs, go on. Tell them coal and oil definitely has to be got rid of because that is what the science says. Now, listen to this clip when we play it. You'll hear him do a really clever sleight of hand. Listen to him going out to correct the record. Because what he doesn't do at any point is correct the record. All he does is speak about his love for the science, how he is the science. And essentially, and the lefties still can't hear it because they're desperate for him to have corrected the record. He basically says, I am the science. But subtext, but I'm still not buying your bullshit that we have to get rid of oil and gas. And I'm about to do another 50 deals today with coal and oil and gas. So stick it up your ass. Listen to Al Jaber tell the world he is the science.
I'm an engineer by background. It's the science and my respect to the science and my passion about the science. And it's about my conviction to the science that have enabled me to progress in my career. I'm an economist by background, and by combining my passion for science and my engineering background and supplementing that with business and economics skills, I was able to progress in my career. So science has been central to my own career progress. And yes, I respect the science in everything I do. And I respect and trust numbers and figures. Science has guided my life. This is a fact. And I have repeatedly said in many occasions and in many different platforms that it is the science that have guided the principles of our strategy as COP28 presidency.
Did you get? Well, I was amusing myself. Me and studio were counting the science. Did you hear? We should have had, we need to come back to that clip. And I need to get my, oh, look here. Hold on. So opening as I speak, if you hear some rustling. I've been working on different, I'm just slightly veering off subject for a second, but you know me. Hold on. I don't know if I can. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that with your teeth, are you? So I'm just opening. We're looking for whistles because you may know this probably is quite loud next to that radio. Let me do it over there. Right. So this is my whistle here. This is not the whistle we're going to be using, but during my stand-up show, we were talking about twat whistles. So I have a beautiful whistle. This isn't it. This product is very poor. See, this is the problem. Shabby products, which we don't supply at Katie's Arms. But so the twat whistle. So the idea is I walk around with a whistle around my neck. If you were at any of the shows, do go on chat and let people know. but the twat whistle, the idea is, so, and it's actually a whistle. It's got sparkles on and stuff. So it looks like a necklace, but it's a twat whistle. And I do use it. Like, don't imagine I'm saying this just for the, you know, shits and giggles. When I go about the place, if someone's being a complete twat, I'll get the twat whistle out. Or in a supermarket, if someone's got a mask on, maybe a hazmat suit, and they're being a dick to one of the staff, I'm going to blow a whistle. So I'm warning you, I'm not sure how this is going to work with this microphone setup. But if someone's being a literal twat and I've gone past the point of giving a single shiny, you know what, then I will literally, oh, golly, that's what's actually for a not good product. That actually is quite a good whistle, isn't it? So what I'm thinking is towards the top of the hour, we should replay Al Jabba the Hutt. And every time he says the science, we should whistle because it's pretty funny the number of times he said it. Hooray, Katie's back. Or is she a mirage? Yeah, I know, I'm a mirage. How many times has he said the word science? Brilliant. Thank you, chat, for getting it. The science. I am the science. It is the, I am science, 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 science. I'm the science. But notice what he didn't say. He never, ever, ever said the science said we must stop using oil and gas. He just basically went out like he's the leader of some new church, like I am God. So he just basically, I am the science. I love him. I love him. I need him in my life. Right. Let me read from Chitty Chitty Chat Chat, a Quality Street bounce. Jabba, jabba, jabba. I don't know if we're having helpful comments here. But, oh, yes. Someone trying to help me with pronunciation. I am an engineer. I am a, someone taking the piss out of Al Jabba. I am an economist. I am a brain surgeon. I am an airline pilot. I am an astronaut. Exactly right. I am a great leader in all things. I am knowledge. I am the alpha. I am the alpha. I am the omega, right? Totally. I think I can't read that message. So occasionally when I'm reading from the chat, I go into which means it might even be a little bit rude for me. So that's what we're going to plan to do. At the top of the hour, we'll work this out. We're going to bring back Al Jabba. And what I want you to do, because this is a team activity, a team sport, you might not have a handy whistle. Maybe you work in a hotel and you have one of those bells. You know, those really satisfying bells where you go, go and get that immediately. What other kind of horns, beacons, alarms might you have in your home? I'm looking around me. Anything that makes a bing or a beep or a ping, you can pans, saucepan lids. So at the top of the hour, I need you to, along with me, every time Jabba the Hutt says the science, right? Okay, that's happening. So we've got studio thinking about his own life and how that's going to work. What I want to do, we've got two things I really want to speak about. Otherwise, that'll be twice I've not done them. One is a concept. I know, right? Here at the Katie Hopkins Show, we're in the rarefied air of conceptual discussions at just after 8 in the morning, right? Conceptual thought. Who'd have thought? Whatever next? Coherent conversation. Well-crafted sentences. What's coming next? So I want to discuss the concept of the fellow traveller. What I would also love to do in the next section is I would love just to get a flavour, a sous-son of the Paris Olympic Games 2024. Because I tell you now, good people, and it turns out after 15 years of doing this, I'm pretty good at predicting stuff, right? Like, you know, the fall of Western Europe. Yeah, thank me later. I don't reckon the Parisian Olympic Games have got a holy chance in hell of being able to run. It was just a stabbing at the Eiffel Tower. If you imagine that that was by chance, you are off your rocker. If you imagine that that wasn't a symbol and wasn't coordinated and laid down by someone at a much higher level, you're off your rocker. And very, very soon, Paris thinks it's going to put on an Olympic Games at the same time as there is an intifada in the Middle East. Yeah, okay, Paris. Come here, let's see how this goes. So those are the two things I'm determined we're going to do when we come back from commercial break, as well as what you need to do now, good people, apart from getting a cup of tea, having a wee, and maybe listening to the commercial, is go and find a ding or a ping or a, I don't care if you have to go and get your bike, because your bike's got a, not a whistle, but it's got a bell on it. Go and find something you can ting, ding or hit, or go and get the tequila and you can do shots. So every time Al Jaber says science, you have to do a shot of tequila. That's what we're doing at the top of the hour. But for now, my darlings, a short commercial break. My name, don't you forget it, is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Facts matter. And the fact is that until the COVID-19 genetic therapy injections hit the scene, we didn't have thousands of young athletes dying in competition, in training, or home asleep in their beds. We didn't blame things like a previously undiagnosed genetic cardiac anomaly, or taking too cold a shower, or walking too briskly to class. And the fact is that it wasn't Israelis that kidnapped Palestinian Olympic athletes in Munich and murdered them. It wasn't Israelis that blew up nightclubs in Berlin and Indonesia. It wasn't Israelis that drove a truck through a Christmas parade in Wisconsin or shot up a Christmas market in Germany. It wasn't Israelis that stabbed to death festival goers in Stockholm. It wasn't Israelis that did these things. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
See, Smokey thinks I'm funny.
Katie Hopkins. Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are back, my darlings. Now, I want to talk conceptual stuff. I want to talk about the concept of fellow travellers. So what I want you to do on try, please. I want you to, don't worry about my whistle and the fact that none of us could hear it. I want you to think about the concept of fellow travellers. Do you know, never trust an Arab, Lawrence of Arabia? casual racism. So what I want from you, please, is I want you to think about the concept of fellow travellers and where that comes from and what it means. Today, we're talking about it in relation to the left and Hamas, right? But if you know about the concept of fellow travellers, maybe you're a historian, maybe you're a student of the Bolsheviks and you understand where it came from, please go to Tribe. Please explain for everybody the concept of fellow traveller with the Bolsheviks and communists. So The premise is that the global left, right, the leftists, can't explicitly say that they support Hamas, right? Because how can you support Islam's aim or Hamas's aim of forcing the people of the world to accept the sovereignty of Islam or face carnage, right? That sounds preposterous even to the leftists, right? So you can't say explicitly that you support that, right? You can't be a progressive or a leftist and actively campaign for Hamas because Hamas throws gay men off of buildings. So you can't explicitly say, we love Hamas, we support Hamas. So the American left, for example, which includes in its ranks Queers for Palestine. Yeah, sure, that would go real well for you, Queers for Palestine. Just you go try that on the ground in Palestine, see how long you last. So it can't seriously endorse lethal homophobia. But the left wing, whilst it won't explicitly endorse Hamas, it embraces everything Hamas is doing, right? It embraces Hamas. And therefore, you get this concept of fellow travelers. So that it fellow travels, inverted commas, fellow travels with Islam, rather than supports it. Now, the concept, which you'll know is the thing I wanted to talk about, of fellow traveling. I'm just checking on Tribe. Have we got any fellow traveling info? The concept of fellow traveling with radical Islam is its suggestions back in the days with the Bolsheviks of tourism, of privilege. The phrase with the Bolsheviks, after the Russian Revolution of 1917, they looked with appreciation on Westerners who supported them without ever endorsing communism, right? So artists, writers, and academics who were disgusted with the West, often for good reason, were quite happy to justify Soviet communism and cover up its crimes without ever being communist themselves. So the good, the intellectually elite praised the communists, praised the Bolsheviks, praised the idea without ever endorsing communism, hence the idea of fellow travelers. And in this idea, this conceptual argument, it is that the global left, the left will be fellow travelers with Hamas to an extreme end. As some people here on chat are saying, Jeremy Corbyn will stand with Hamas. Exactly. So Leon Trotsky. So Trotsky said, and this is the question I love. He put it best when he said of fellow travelers, the question was always, how far would they go? As long as they did not have to live under the control of communist in the 1920s or Islamist in the 2020s, the answer appears to be a very long way indeed. So let's take a really specific example. And I'm quoting this from a brilliant article by some brilliant chap who I'm so gutted that I haven't got the answer to what his name is, which is a crime on my part. But so the example that is quoted, and I love this so much, Oakland City Council, I've spent a long time there. I spoke for the Republican Women of Oakland. So it's in the Bay Area of San Fran. If you know the Bay Area of San Fran, it's the area that's the most rogered in the whole of San Fran. The Bay Area of San Fran is screwed, apart from one lane that they look after so that the cruise customers coming off of cruises think that San Fran is still fine. Anyway, so this is a council in the area of San Fran that's most screwed. It is drug alley. It is human. Well, it is a disaster zone of it is apocalyptic. If you walk through, there is no one else, no other white person does. I do. It is like an scene. There's just zombies. It's beyond. Anyway, the council there, so you can think Democrat, think leftist. A council member wanted to pass the motion. Oh, so this will be a Republican, wanted to pass a motion that condemned the killings, or it will be an Israeli or a Jewish person, condemned the killings and hostage taking by Hamas, right? So one council person in Oakland wanted to just pass a simple motion that condemned killings by Hamas and condemned hostage taking by Hamas, right? The motion got nowhere. It goes on. According to one speaker at the council meeting in the Bay Area in San Fran in 2023, Hamas did not massacre anyone. There have not been beheadings of babies or rapings, a woman said at the meeting. Israel murdered their own people on the 7th of October. Okay, and also get on chat. You may be agreeing with the Democrats at Oakland Council in San Fran. In which case, obviously, I would suggest you're mental, but do go on chat and defend your point of view. Another woman said that calling Hamas a terrorist organization is ridiculous, racist, and plays into the genocidal propaganda that is flooding our media. So this is the idea of fellow traveler, right? Not explicitly endorsing Hamas, but to call them a terrorist organization is ridiculous, racist, and plays into genocidal propaganda, despite the fact that Hamas were the ones that, okay. And then someone else there in the audience, I looked for this clip from the council meeting and I've asked the ladies of Oakland to try and find it for me because I want to bring it to you here. When you go to San Fran, make sure you buy a ship map. Yeah, well, I could draw you one of those easy. There's about two streets where it's knee high. Another person in this council meeting said to condemn Hamas was, I don't know why I've made them Hamas was very anti-Arab racist. Oh, I see. So not only is it racist to condemn Hamas, it's anti-Arab racist. It's a special kind of racism right there. And the meeting returned to modern Holocaust denial as a new speaker said the IDF had murdered their own people and it was bald propaganda to suggest otherwise. A man intervened to shout that. So this is a guy shouting at a meeting in America in 2023 to hear them complain, talking about Jews. So to hear Jews complain about Hamas violence is like listening to a wife beater complain when his wife finally stands up and fights back. I just cannot even imagine if you turn those tables and I went to a meeting in Bradford or Birmingham or Luton or Leicester or London or any one of the cities in the UK that's Muslim majority. And I tried to say something to the effect of, if Muslims complain, you know, well, it's their own fault. They're the ones. It's wild. So this concept of fellow travellers and this idea that the global left, while not specifically on the word of I stand with Hamas, are standing with Hamas, are encouraging them, and are saying any criticism of them is racist or anti-Arab racist or whatever else. It blows my mind, but it's exactly what's going on here in the UK. It's exactly why eventually the crocodile will eat these people. And it's exactly what the Board of Deputies, the major Jewish organization that's supposed to represent the interest of Jews, does in the UK, is it stands with the Muslim Council, which is exactly this idea. The Board of Deputies are fellow travelers with the Muslim Council. And until people and Jewish people call these people out, none of this will ever change. Okay. Topic change, because I'm determined to get back to Al Jaber by the top of the show, even though it turns out my radio doesn't pick up the whistle, although probably my gun dogs have gone mad outside the door here. Can I take us in a switcheroo to Paris? Imagine Paris. Imagine the Seine. Imagine walking along the Seine, the little green booksellers in those little green, they're not green. The people aren't green. The bouquinistas selling their books along the Seine. Imagine people dining in cafes by candlelight, thin women smoking and looking elegant. Paris, Olympics, 2024. Well, the motto for the 2024 Olympics is games wide open, right? Games wide open. But here's the thing. The games are shaping up to be anything but open. They want to shut down the little green bouquinistes, those little green bookstores along the Seine. They've been there and they've stood there since all through the wars, they've stood there. But they want them taken away for the games because the opening ceremony of the 2024 games will be along the Seine. And they've decided these little green bouquinistas are an impediment they can do without. A fortnight ago, four of the kiosks were removed in a trial run ahead of the real thing next July. It's like a tooth extraction. C'est un tooth extraction, that's not French, said Michael Butard, General Secretary of the Cultural Association of Booksellers of Paris, all for a four-hour ceremony. The Olympic Games have achieved what the wars were not able to do and make us disappear. Then there's other outrage. Because for the period of the Games, Parisians will be banned from bringing their cars into the city. And if they really want to bring their cars into the city, they have to download a Bally QR code. And if you know the French do not like being told what to do, and they do not like downloading a QR code, and they do not want to be told they cannot bring their cars into the city. And so they're having a massive sad on. The guy, the Paris police chief running this, would not want his job, said, "Oh, you know, there's a reason for this. One can always be the little ugly duckling who sulks in the corner. We know we'll have loads of those." Now, I want to bring you this. This is the Seine. They're going to run the triathlon in the Seine and swimming events in the Seine. Currently can't swim in the Seine because it's got more human feces in it than the local sewer network. Let's take a listen to the mayor of Paris explaining how they're going to clear up the Seine. And this, my darlings, is in French. Enjoy.
Swimming in the Seine has long been forbidden, but taking a dip in the iconic river could soon become a reality. Just in time for the 2024 Summer Olympics, Paris has embarked on its most ambitious bid yet to clean up one of the world's busiest waterways.
On ne peut plus se baigner officiellement dans la Seine depuis 1923. On travaille maintenant depuis plusieurs années à améliorer la qualité de l'eau pour permettre de pouvoir se baigner à nouveau. We're trying to improve the... Dans le cadre des Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques de Paris 2024, il y aura effectivement plusieurs épreuves dans la Seine. Elles se dérouleront toutes au pied du pont Alexandre III. Donc le triathlon, hommes, femmes et relais mix, et le paratriathlon. Il y aura aussi pendant les Jeux Olympiques la nage en eau libre, donc c'est une épreuve de 10 km.
Basically, the section of the Seine they're trying to clean up so that they can hold the events in the Seine.
C'est pas une folie, c'est une ambition. D'abord, les Jeux ont permis d'accélérer un certain nombre d'investissements qui permettent d'améliorer la qualité de la Seine et de pouvoir s'y revenir à nouveau pour les épreuves.
Massively increasing their investment to make this happen.
Et puis ensuite, la baignade pour les Parisiens, elle démarrera à l'été 2025, un an après la fin des Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques.
So after 2025, the idea is that Parisians themselves will be able to swim in the Seine, so that the cleanup for the Olympics will have a purpose, that after 100 years or so of people not being allowed to swim in the Seine, after the Olympics, once more, they will be able to, which is kind of a glorious thing. Guess what we're going to do, my good people? I just wanted to bring you that little sousson of the Paris Olympics. We're going to go to Al Jaber. Have you got, TNT Tribe, your bells, your whistles, your knobs ready? Have you got your tequila shots ready? Every time Al Jaber, the guy running COP28, but using it to flog oil and gas contracts, which I love, every time he says the science, you have to drink, you could flash your boobs, you could do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to be just giving myself a little round of applause. So every time you hear the science, people, right? Get going. So let's take a listen to Al Jaber. He's supposed to be saving the planet, but he's flogging oil.
It's the science and my respect to the science and my passion about the science, and it's about my conviction to the science that have enabled me to progress in my career. I'm an economist by background, and by combining my passion for science and my engineering background and supplementing that with business and economics skills, I was able to progress in my career. So science has been central to my own career progress. And yes, I respect the science in everything I do. and I respect and trust numbers and figures.
And so he carries on. He's still there in the background. He's trusting the science people, but what he knows is the science does not tell us that we have to get rid of oil and coal and gas and just banged my whistle against my lights. And what I've just done in celebration of Al Jaber is I have just ordered a 25 kilo bag, which is quite small, of coal for my open fire here in the house. So we will be coal fire powered here in the Hopkins household once my coal arrives. My darlings, remember to laugh at the madness, because the world is so mad, it's pretty much all we've got. I'll be back here, same time, same place tomorrow. My name is Katie Hopkins, and you're listening to TNT Radio.